Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Welcome into the NBA Morning Deuce for Tuesday, March 30th. And you know what time it is. It is an original deuce. The two deucers are back at it. Alex, back from vacation, back like he never left, back after a week and a day, back in your built in your ear holes, like he loves to be all up in those ear holes. Alex, welcome back.
Thanks, man. I really wonder how many people just were like, oh, this dude's back. Let's just skip on to
the- I know one person.
There's some great
stuff. I know one person for sure.
You know, buddy, is it the guy that thinks I might be fat or something?
Yeah. The guy who was disappointed that you weren't fat. Yeah. Mm,
okay.
But other than him, no, man, I think people will be happy. You know what's weird? Yes, there was a lot of great content, and all the guys that were on, James last night, Jabari Davis, Dan Favalli, Ty Windish, Ruben was awesome. It's weird because, like, with Ruben, I can kind of vibe because I've known Ruben forever, but all those guys, it's my first time talking to them. So even though the conversations are good, they're very good. And the more they come on, and there will be more guests as we evolve, I still, like, there's jokes where I'm like, I can't, am I just going to throw a ham fisted out there to Jabari? You know what I mean? Like, stuff
You'll
like
get
that.
There with all those guys. You'll get there, I'm sure.
Right. Exactly. So, like, yes, the content was obviously very, those guys know their shit, but it's just like, yeah, I mean, like, am I gonna, like, I don't know these guys well enough to, like, talk about, like,
you someone know, getting like, lumberjacked or something.
like Kyle Lowry's thick ass, you know what I mean? Like,
right,
you know,
right,
bring right, it on right. down to Miami, like, you know what I'm saying?
Talk about baby juice at any point, you know,
exactly. There's just things that I can't talk about with them that I can talk about with you, because we've been doing the show for a while,
yeah.
Not now, let's just put it, I mean, you know, basketball wise, we don't even need to talk about that. but there is something. So this past week, the shows have been really long too, because it's been trade deadline and the buyouts and so the shows have run long, and also some of the, you know, they're, it's just getting used to how long people talk. But there is one piece of news from the trade deadline and the buyout market and all this that I've been saving, that I have not discussed with anybody. I've been saving for you because I feel like this one is near and dear to your heart. Okay.
Hit me. Yeah.
It's the end of an era in the NBA.
I think I know where this is going.
Potentially. It's the end of the Terrence Ferguson era in the NBA. Terrence Ferguson was traded to the Knicks and promptly waived. He's 22 years old. And based on the numbers that you have talked about on this podcast for quite some time, we may never see Terrence Ferguson in an NBA jersey again. Now he's 22. Maybe he goes to the G League, develops, becomes a player. But I thought that would be of interest to you.
Wow. You know what's crazy is when that news, I did see it and I almost texted you, but I kind of thought, no, we'll talk about this on the show. I totally forgot he was even on the Sixers roster. Completely forgot.
Yeah, he was playing like 8 minutes a game and he didn't even play every game.
Not right? even, yeah. He must have had a couple starts that boosted those numbers up. But man, he had one of the worst seasons in NBA history last year. And I realized that before he became a Sixer, and then he became a Sixer and I was like, oh my God.
There's a couple guys in this deadline that you're like, these guys are still like Marquise Chris got traded.
Yeah.
And everyone, a lot of people were like, wait a minute. Marquise Chris is still, I know he's out for the year, but everyone, I think, just assumed that he got waived when he got hurt or something.
Yeah.
And he got traded for a guy that no one's ever heard of. Caddy LeLane.
Yeah. I was wondering what that was when I saw it. So a lot of these roster moves, literally I got them on like the side of a mountain. Cause I was in the Poconos. We were hiking a lot. And like, as the stuff was going down, I'm like, wow. So a lot of the, I'm going to trip up on a couple roster moves. Just so you know, there's going to be some guys that have to correct me.
Well, a lot happened. I was very wrong about it being a boring deadline. Although at the end of the day, it was not a boring deadline, but none of the moves are like game changing, franchise altering. Now, there are moves that happen that could be like if Victor Oladipo comes back healthy and then the Heat re-sign him long term and whatever he could. If Aaron Gordon goes to Denver and becomes the Aaron Gordon that everyone thought he could be, the Vucevic thing, which right now, they're playing right now. They're about to go into the fourth quarter. They're down and they're struggling big time. So who knows? But other than that, everything, there was a ton of action, but nothing. I mean, none of it was like mind blowing.
Yeah. Nothing earth shattering. Probably the only mind blowing part was the amount of moves. Like they just kept coming.
You know? And the fact that the Oladipo deal came after 3 o'clock and no one had talked about Oladipo basically all day.
Yeah.
Like was no rumors about him. And people were even like, all right, I guess Oladipo is not getting traded. It was all Kyle Lowry. Because all the other deals had already happened and it was all like, when's Kyle Lowry getting moved? Who's Kyle Lowry going to? And then your Sixers trade for George Hill, which I know you love. Lakers back out. So everyone's like, the Heat trade Kelly, the Heat trade for Nemanja Bjelica. So everyone's like, all right, well, Kelly Olynyk's going to be in the deal. And then the Raptors trade those two players to make space. Everyone's like, oh, it's Kyle Lowry to the Heat. And then at 3:07, it's Oladipo to the Miami. That was wild. That was the wild part. It was just like, what? No one knew what was going on. It was fun. It's fun. Now that I'm more on NBA Twitter, like now that I'm more on Twitter, that I'm on Twitter more frequently because of the show, the trade deadline and the buyout market brings, I know like, people, I always talk about like the toxicity of Twitter, but it brings out the worst of people. Really brings like this, the deadline and the buy, particularly the buyouts, like the buyouts bring out like real, like vitriol, like just people like that, like one day LaMarcus Aldridge was their favorite player. And then the LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't go to their team and they're like,
team. Yeah.
I hope he dies. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh God, the Nets think they have a super team with the corpse of LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, you know, it's just like, it's people just losing their minds. Blake Griffin had a great quote where he was like, they asked him about all like the hate that the Nets are getting over building a super team. He's like, I don't understand. He's like, the last 2 years, all I heard was that I can't play basketball anymore.
Right.
And now all of a sudden everyone's mad that we built a super team. You know, it's pretty funny, but. Yeah, it was crazy. We won't go through all of it because obviously it'll come up as we start talking about these teams. Mm-hmm. Some of it will come up tonight because a bunch of teams played that made deals, but there was a lot of games tonight. So let's get, was there anything else, anything notable that we need to know from your vacation?
No, I don't think so.
Did you get ham-fisted?
No, there's well, I got really drunk a couple nights, not ham fisted.
You could use it. I feel like at this point you can kind of use it in whatever context.
I built a fire without any
I am mad. I built fire.
It was sick. There was no lighter fluid involved. I built like a little teepee and I had a match. I had a match. I didn't use like wood. But
you didn't like do the thing.
No,
I didn't. I'm not that skilled. Piece of wood.
And
It wasn't like Tom Hanks. You weren't like Tom Hanks.
No.
Wasn't like that. Okay. Well,
that's it. That's what I built a fire. That was really it.
That's impressive. I don't think I've ever built a fire. So
I guess if you use a match, it's probably still not considered building a fire, but it just, you know, bear with me.
Yeah. No. That's exciting. That's exciting. It's more exciting than anything I did last week. My week's was pretty much this.
Yeah.
So a lot of games tonight. But I want to lead off with a team that I don't think we ever have led off with. And I don't think we ever would have anticipated leading off a show ever with this team. But there is an epic all-time turnaround happening in the NBA that I didn't even really notice until a couple days ago, and it continues to happen. The Kings have won 6 in a row.
I was wondering
they've won, I want to say like 7 of 8 or 8 of 9. And De'Aaron Fox is leading the NBA in scoring in the month of March. He's averaging 30 a game in March. They haven't played the toughest schedule, but they also were one of the worst teams in NBA history in the first half of the season.
Right. I mean, defensively. Well,
their defense still, I think, like, if the season ended today, their defensive rating would be the worst ever. But they're all of a sudden, they're, I think, 9th in offensive rating. And in the month of March, they're like 6th in offensive rating. I watched the second half of their game. They're doing right now, since Marvin Bagley got hurt, they're doing exactly what I've been begging New Orleans to do. They just went small. They have Rashawn Holmes at the 5, and then they're going Tyrese Halliburton, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes at the 4. And they are just going. And De'Aaron Fox is playing the best basketball of his career.
So I've been away from basketball a lot. I did not know the Kings were scorching hot, and that's exciting. But I also have no idea how. Like, there hasn't been a shakeup. Luke Walton's still the coach. You know, like, what could be spawning this is what I'm confused about.
Maybe Halliburton in the starting lineup, Bagley not playing. They traded away Bielitsa, less minutes for Hassan Whiteside. Like, I think going small and just running and being a high pace, high scoring team has helped. And obviously, De'Aaron Fox, I mean, he's just on a different level right now.
And he was a guy we talked about, I think, in the offseason, making a possible like leap. I mean, he's not
that was star. That was you. I've never really been super high on him. Like, but right now,
I mean, I don't think he's even, you wouldn't even consider him like a star, but he's headed there. Yeah.
But that's the thing. I'm looking at his numbers, right? And I saw some places today, I was looking up the odds for most improved player. And in some places, Julius Randle has passed Jeremy Grant because Jeremy Grant is cooled off. He still has numbers. If it's specifically a numbers based thing in the jump in the numbers, he gets it. But if it's impact and improvement, De'Aaron Fox, I think, has to be in the conversation. He's averaging 25 a game. He's up from 21. He's averaging 25 a game. He's on the brink of being like a top 10 scorer in the NBA. He's not far off from being a top 10 scorer in the NBA. And after tonight, depending on what happens with this, well, the Warriors are going to win this game, it looks like. But they are a half a game behind the Warriors for 10, a game and a half behind the Grizzlies for 9, and 2.5 behind San Antonio for 8. So they're right there on the, like, they're right there for to be in the play-in game. And they're the second hottest team in the NBA behind Utah and the Clippers, who look like they're going to win their 6th straight tonight. So
that is remarkable. I'm looking. So it has come against a relatively easy schedule, right, because they played the Warriors without Steph. But okay, so they got the Spurs again.
Steph played tonight.
No, I'm sorry. Their win against the Warriors was without Steph. But man, that's something, because
they beat the Spurs tonight. That's not.
Yeah, I know. And so okay, they get the Spurs again, the Lakers, Milwaukee. So that.
They should win that
game. It's a winnable. Yeah, they should win that.
The way they're playing.
Man, we had Luke Walton completely dead in the water, and for him, I guess.
It was a foregone conclusion from everybody. Yeah. It was like, how is this guy not fired yet?
Yeah, we owe him a sincere apology if this team makes the play-in game or play-in tournament or whatever we're calling it, the play-in scenario, we owe him a huge apology.
I feel like they're going to figure out a way to screw it up, but like,
definitely.
Yeah. It just depends. Like if De'Aaron Fox keeps playing this way,
what if, I mean, this whole thing changes if Hassan Whiteside is bought out and they don't have that on the roster. I mean, they're a different team at that point, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, look,
if
they actually get rid of Hassan Whiteside, they're in.
Then they're probably in. Wow. Probably Let's get in. Our bets in now. Get your bets in now.
But it's just remarkable. The De'Aaron Fox thing's crazy. Like it wasn't even on my radar. Look, admittedly, and I don't think anybody's going to fault us for this, even though this is a 5-day a week show where we try to cover the whole NBA, we trash the Kings at any chance we can get. And I don't watch the Kings. I just don't. And also they were one of the worst teams in the NBA. One of the worst defenses in NBA history. Like they were just an absolute shit show the first half of the season. This is like an absolute remarkable turnaround. And yeah, I mean, you gotta credit Luke Walton. He's the one making the adjustments. Cause that's a guy who he was the one guy who didn't get fired, who we were like, this guy should be fired. All these other coaches, there was an argument for them to not be fired. Luke Walton was the argument was fire his ass now.
Because they're not playing any defense. They're just not. There's a whole side of the court they're not even trying
on. They're just going out there getting ham-fisted every night.
Every night.
Yeah, it's crazy. So good for them, man. I mean, De'Aaron Fox, I'm blown away. Mm-hmm. And just watching him, he is – like, you're right. He's not a super – like, he's not a guy you'd be like, this is a superstar. But you see the numbers and then you watch him. Like, watching him is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
He looks really unstoppable.
Mm-hmm. He truly is one of the guys. He can get to the rim at will. Like,
and he's another one of these guys who's a perfect example of we forget how young these dudes are. He's 23 years old.
23. Okay.
It might be 22. He's so young. He feels like he's been in the league for 10 years.
Yeah.
And he's 22, 23 years old. Like, he's not even close to his what's considered physical prime, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right. And he's turned into a, he's on the brink of being an elite player in the league.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty nuts.
It is. I will predict, however, this is the last time we open the show with the Kings, but we'll see.
I don't know, man. If they wrong. Keep I mean, winning, they they're on a 5-game winning streak.
We have to.
Well, listen, if they win their next game and the Jazz and the Clippers lose and they're the hottest team in the NBA, we're leading with them.
Yeah, we got to lead with them.
You got to lead with the hottest team in the NBA.
Got to.
What a good for them. Shout out to the Kings. What a remarkable turnaround. There's not much more you can say there. It's just a crazy. Haliburton, maybe this could give him the bump to get Rookie of the Year if he keeps playing well. Maybe. Yeah. Anthony Edwards has not played great since that little stretch. LaMelo's out. We'll see.
I think he's probably the front. Well, Anthony, it's close, but.
No, LaMelo's the front.
Well, I mean, can he still
I think
get
he's
it,
still the front. Yeah, I think he's still the front runner, but. I don't think he won't. I don't think he will.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be close. I think Haliburton, especially if they make the playoffs, since he's in the starting lineup now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have to give him credit there. All right. Let's get to where do we go next? Let's go. You were watching that New Orleans Boston game.
Yeah. That was a fun game to watch. And I do wonder if anyone has ever had a worse start to their Celtics career than Evan Fournier had.
or any career.
Yeah. Fournier was 0 for 10 from the field in 33 minutes.
And that's not even the worst part about Evan
that's
Fournier.
Not even. There is something going on with Evan Fournier's hair. I don't even I truly don't know if what he has going on is a style or he's like reverse balding. Like he's balding from the back to the front.
Is this your first time noticing Evan Fournier's hair?
It's always looked strange to me, but I think I just had a particular shot tonight. Like I saw and I was like, what the fuck is going on with this guy's hair? It's always been odd to me, but this is the first time where I was like, okay, is he actually balding in reverse? Like from the back to the front?
I don't know.
Not a good night for Evan Fournier.
Not a good night. Funny thing about Evan Fournier, do you know that like the thing with his last name?
Yeah, yeah. So I don't actually know what it means. I just
it's
know
like his last name is like the name of like a I want to say it's like a genital gangrene like disease. And when he got traded to Boston, he goes, hello, Boston fan. He tweeted out, hey, Boston fans, if you don't know who I am, Google my last name. You're welcome.
He said, well, because I remember when he went to the Magic, he said, don't Google my last name. So maybe he did it in reverse.
Oh, wait, time. Maybe I read it wrong. Did I read maybe, it wrong?
It would be even funnier if he did it differently this time. Or maybe I have it mixed up, but I just remember him the last time he moved teams, he was like, don't Google.
But I think I was looking at the comments because I kind of forgot what he meant. Mm-hmm. What he was talking about. I was looking at the comments and everyone's like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Yeah, it's really gross. It's really gross. I completely forgot what the ailment is. It's just horrible looking.
I think it was something in, like with gangrene and yeah, it's. He says, hi, Celtics fans. If you're not familiar with me, please Google my last name. You're welcome.
Okay. And now I have here Evan Fournier on Twitter. In 2014, by the way, never Google my last name. You don't want to see it. So he's flip-flopping whether you, okay. This guy's kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, I guess maybe he hates Boston.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's not happy either. Maybe that's why he played like shit. Maybe he's just tanking.
That'd be, yeah. He goes in, tells all the fans to gross themselves out, puts up an 0 for 10.
Fournier gangrene is an acute necrotic infection of the scrotum, penis, or perineum.
Necrotic doesn't sound
good. It is characterized by scrotum pain and redness with rapid progression to gangrene and sloughing of tissue. You have to say
what like of that. Tissue?
Sloughing.
Okay.
So, I thought that was funny that he did that.
Yeah, I'm just
kind of fucked up.
The image is burned in my head. I haven't looked at it in years, but I remember what I was looking at.
I never looked at it.
It's horrible.
This team is a mess.
Yeah, they look bad. And I have been defending this team. They're going to turn it around. You know, I'm not worried about the Celtics, but they look like a shitty team. I think I texted this to you. They made the Pelicans look solid defensively, and we know they're not. We know the Pelicans are a bad defensive team, and like the Celtics just couldn't get anything working. I mean, Jason Tatum had 34, but that's their offense. You know, Kemba Walker had 23 on 18 shots. They just look like all out of sorts.
Yeah. My thing, well, first of all, no Jaylen Brown. So here you go. Like when two or three good players doesn't play, they look awful. Mm-hmm. Because like Tatum played great. There's just nothing else. But also this team who so desperately needed to improve at the deadline or in the buyouts in their front court got substantially worse.
Mm-hmm. Like a team should never be missing Tristan Thompson this bad, you know, like they need him back.
And they traded Daniel Theis for Mo Wagner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't even realize they picked up Luke Kornet, and those Luke Kornet's like playing meaningful minutes for them.
Luke Kornet was in a lot tonight, and his shot, it's weird. His shot is like beautiful looking, but he cannot stay in front of any, like Zion Williamson ate him alive today. Like it was.
Yeah. Like that's the least, maybe the least surprising thing you will ever say on an NBA podcast. Zion Williamson ate Luke Kornet alive.
If you missed the game last night, and you're listening to this, just look at Zion Williamson's highlights, but watch it for the possessions where Luke Kornet is guarding him, because it's just like, it looks like two people in different leagues.
He only played 13 minutes, and every time I turned on the game, it seemed like he was in.
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, this team, look, Daniel Theis is not anything great, but compared to Luke Kornet and Mo Wagner, I'm just like, what was the end game here?
I don't know. Danny Ainge is not looking good right now. And I really am. The only way this team turns it around is if Robert Williams makes like incredible strides in the next month.
Well, he's been very good for them.
Yeah. But like, he's got
to
be more
consistent. I don't think he's a 35 to 40 minute a night guy.
Definitely not
32 minutes.
Definitely not yet. Yeah.
Four fouls, you know.
So I'm saying he might need to make that leap for them to have a chance, because their front court is just so bad.
Yeah. I mean, but they also, well, we'll see. Look, you can't write them off. Like when Jaylen Brown's back.
Because of the star power. Yeah.
And Evan Fournier is not going to be over 10 every night. Like he is a big boost for them because their bench is very weak.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. You get You get Jaylen Brown back. Grant Williams goes back to the bench. Then you have Grant, Evan Fournier, Peyton Pritchard coming off the bench. I mean, it's not a terrible, it's not a great bench. It's not, but it's not terrible.
Right.
I mean, and then you get Tristan Thompson back. And so you don't have to play Mo Wagner and Luke Kornet all the time. Like, it's not terrible, but they're just always that one foul trouble or injury away from just being horrible.
Yeah,
like they did tonight.
Do you think they had something else lined up that fell through? Like they thought they were getting LaMarcus Aldridge, or like?
Well, here's the thing with the Celtics. If you follow all the reports, the Celtics are involved in everything after the fact. Like every time a move happens, it's inevitable within like a day, or maybe sometimes within hours. It's like the Celtics were so close to making this move, or the Celtics were in the final two of getting this guy. And it just, they're like the kings of these reports coming out that they were this close. So I think they were, if you ask them, they were close to getting every player at the deadline and in the buyout market, and they didn't get any. Yeah. I do think that there was in Boston, probably a belief that they were going to get Andre Drummond, or that they had a really good shot at Andre Drummond. He's been sort of a guy that seems to have been on their radar for a long time.
But it's just the Tice move makes no sense without a corresponding move, you know, like
Tice is a free agent. So if they don't plan on paying him, I think that was part of it, but I don't weird. Get, yeah, yeah, I don't get really it either. Weird. Cause it's not like Mo Wagner's good.
Yeah. It's a downgrade.
It's not bad.
Right.
It's not better than Daniel Tice. All right. Now, Pelicans look good for most of this game. This Zion thing, eventually it's got to calm. He can't be this dominant. He can't be this dominant.
Like, I'm trying to think, like, he's so good at one specific thing. Like, he's better at this thing, like, than anyone else is at anything in the NBA. Does that mean, you know what I mean? Like, there's nobody that's this good at one thing the way he is at scoring in the paint.
You think so? I guess Giannis, Steph's the best shooter ever.
Yeah, but I would say like the difference between him and the next best guy, I guess Giannis is up.
Yeah.
But he's just unfucking believable in the paint. Like it's like you're watching like a video game or something.
Guys just bounce off of him. His handle is much better than I expected it to be. So like when he's going downhill with the dribbling the ball, he's just going by people. They're bouncing off of him. Mm-hmm. And then he stays in the air. And it's just like I don't even know how you guard it unless you, I just like, I don't know. At this point, I'm just trying to figure out how you guard it unless you double him.
Mm-hmm. I had a thought watching this game, like if he became a tight end in the NFL, he would be the best within 2 years. Like he's that physical, like, And the jumping ability is like a joke. He's just a monster.
Yeah, he probably would be. Yeah, it's crazy. He's just absurd. They almost blew it, but...
Yeah, and they're such a young team, and Eric Bledsoe really stinks, in my opinion, so...
Yeah, and no Lonzo. Lonzo's been out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hurt, which changes everything for them, I think. But
yeah.
It's a solid... Any win for them is a solid win at this point. Miami snapped their 6-game losing streak tonight. No Victor Oladipo. He did not play, so he has not debuted yet. Nemanja Bjelica, who they also traded for, did play, but did not play much and did not look good in the 5 minutes that he played. So we'll see. I think it's going to take a minute. But, man, this team is just – I mean, they are still so, so bad offensively.
So
I don't know, like watching the entire game, like Victor Oladipo will help, but it may take a minute. Like I think Heat fans are going to have to temper the expectation of how quickly he will help, but he will help is like, there was a point in the game in the fourth quarter where the Heat had taken more threes than they had paint points.
Ooh, that's not a good recipe.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then in the end, and then Bam and Jimmy sort of took over. Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson have both played a lot better since the deadline, but still, like, there was a point in this game where it looked like this game was going to be in the 70s. It was bad on both sides. The Knicks too.
I had a moment on vacation where just seeing the Oladipo trade, right? I texted my girlfriend's dad, who is a gigantic Heat fan, about, oh, what a big day the Heat had, and just not realizing they were on a 5-game skid. Like, I was hyping up the Heat, and he's like, we just lost to the Blazers, and we have huge problems right now. So I was like, oh, shit, okay. But yeah, this team, I can't figure it out. I just don't, there's no way after what we saw last year that they're this bad offensively. It just doesn't make any sense.
They got to, so I think where Oladipo is really going to help is, and even though Jimmy Butler had 27 and he at one point in the game, he got like angry. So he just sort of took over. There's still like this insistence multiple times where he gets into the paint and he kicks out to a guy like Andre Iguodala for a three. Instead of just scoring five feet from the basket. And there's this insistence still on relying on the three. And look at the numbers from tonight. Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero each made four. And then 0 for 3, 0 for 3, 0 for 2, 1 for 2, 1 for 6. There's no world where you're going to be a winning basketball team on a regular basis when Andre Iguodala is shooting six threes.
Never. It'll never happen.
It makes no sense. No. It just makes sense. So that's where I think Oladipo will actually help, because he's not that. He's not passing. Like, he'll pass, but he's not. He's a scorer. He's going to go downhill and he's going to try and score at the rim. He's not a bad passer, but he's not like Jimmy Butler where he's just like crazy unselfish to a fault. So I think it'll help. It just may take a minute to figure out like what the role is. Does he start?
It's a nice win tonight. They just need him up to speed as quickly as possible. I think the strangest thing to me about this team is how important Goran Dragic still seems to be. Like, if he's not playing well, they're not winning. It's just crazy.
And he still doesn't look healthy. This was his first game back in a while from like back spasms, and he still doesn't look totally right. But that's also where Oladipo comes in, because he should be able to take a lot of the load off of Goran Dragic in terms of the importance offensively. So we'll see. But any game, especially at the Knicks, when the Knicks are ahead of you in the playoff race, it's good to get that win.
Yeah, it's big.
The Knicks are in the same boat. Like, these are two of the best defensive teams in the league, but two of the most brutally bad offensive teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just like, and they're in the same boat where it's like, if Julius Randle's not going off, like really going off,
then they might not reach 90 points.
Well, and he had 22, but no one looked good for this. Other than Derrick Rose. Derrick Rose looked pretty good. But you can't rely on that.
Right.
It's just like, and now no Mitchell Robinson. Not that Nerlens Noel isn't good, but like, he's out for the year, I think, or whatever, however long he's out. They have no shooters. But I will say they're going to be in the playoffs. And I was thinking about this. The best case scenario for the NBA is for these two teams to play each other in the first round.
That'd be a pretty awesome matchup, because it would just be so defensive
and it would get it would get physical, and guys would be like going at each. It would be like old school. It would be a little bit like old school Knicks Heat, because they're so bad offensively, and it's such a like hard, like slow paced, bad offense, great defense, physical. And then when you play each other over seven games, then the physicality gets more and more. Like, it's the only way to make these, unless the Heat can turn around their offense, because I don't think the Knicks can. Unless the Heat can somehow find the offense they had last year, the only way to make these two awful offensive teams like fun to watch would be playing against each other.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Like, then they're both led by two pretty huge badasses in Jimmy Butler, and then what we saw from Julius Randle
a week or two ago was so
sick. So that could have some awesome moments.
And Derrick Rose is cool. Like, RJ Barrett is actually starting to be a pretty good player. Didn't have a good game tonight. Like, everyone loves Bam Adebayo.
That'd be fun.
It could be fun. Now, there's also the possibility that all of a sudden the Heat start shooting the ball like they shot last year, and then it's not even a series. Mm-hmm. But as it stands right now, the Heat are a better team. They don't have a better record. They are a better team, but both teams are just hard to watch offensively. It's tough. How about, I almost thought about starting today's show with Russell Westbrook.
I thought that's where you were going to go. Yeah, because this line is like a joke.
35. The Wizards beat the Pacers 132-124. No Brad Beal. So Russell Westbrook just drops a cool 35-21 assists, 14 rebounds.
It's like when you hear, so you hear the points 35, and then you hear 21, you're like, well, what? Jesus Christ, is it rebounds or assists? Yeah. Both is an insane number. But how also, many field goals did they even have? I mean, Jesus Christ, they had 55 field goals. He made 14 shots and had 21 assists. I mean, he's just everything that he was the offense tonight.
The most efficient shooting game I can remember him having in a long time, too. Mm. I mean, like in the fourth, he was in a crazy zone. The fourth quarter, he was making step back threes.
That's exciting. It was
pretty crazy. But interestingly for them, under the radar for them is in that Daniel Theis, Mo Wagner deal, the Bulls sent Daniel Gafford and Chandler Hutchinson to Washington, who have the most upside of any of those four. Those two guys are upside. Like Daniel Gafford is a pretty athletic, solid big man. Mm-hmm. Chandler Hutchinson's a decent wing player.
I do like Troy Brown Jr. though. He has some upside.
Troy Brown was in that trade too. He does have upside.
I think he was in that deal, right? To Chicago. Yeah.
But Chandler Hutchinson gets 18 and Daniel Gafford gets 11 in 14 minutes, 11 and six. Like, I mean, this team's not going to, they're not like core pieces. But it's just interesting. It's interesting seeing these young guys go, like, they can't do anything for the Bulls. They can't play for the Bulls. And they come out, and Chandler Hutchinson in his first game has 18 and 25 minutes. Mm-hmm.
Well, that also just tells you how horrible the Wizards' bigs have been after Thomas Bryant got hurt. So, like, pretty much anything is a step up. But, yeah, that's fun to watch because I don't know much about Hutchinson, but Gafford is, like, a physical specimen. Like, that dude mm-hmm. is huge and athletic, so – I mean, maybe he just needed a change of scenery, mix up in the coach to put things together. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah. It's interesting seeing Russ do this without Brad Beal. Like
yeah, it is. Like, does it mean something? Or
are they better with one or the other? And also, obviously, you go with Brad Beal in that situation, but. Mm-hmm. We always see, like, everyone talks about how Russ is such a great teammate. He also just doesn't fit with a lot of people.
Paul George almost won an MVP. Like, those two work together, right?
Yeah, but they weren't good.
They weren't winning, right? Yeah, that's a good point. Okay. So you're saying from a
good like a teammate in the sense of, like, yeah, Brad Beal leads the NBA in scoring and mm-hmm. they're terrible.
Yeah, so I know it's a hip injury for Beal. How long is he going to be out? Because that is interesting to watch if they go on a streak with – because remember, they had a bunch of wins without Westbrook, you know? Mm-hmm. So maybe
they are 2.5 games out of the play-in right now.
Insane. Well, that's insane at 17 and 28. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It could be something there.
Rough night for Caris LeVert. It's tough for the Pacers in general when you get – 35 from Sabonis and 26 from Brogdon, and you don't win against mm-hmm. the Wizards.
Nobody else was doing much at all. I mean, they need, like, when is TJ Warren getting
he's
back?
Out. He's out for the year.
He's done for the year. Okay. Yeah.
They just announced that last week, which is kind of crushing for them because, as much as I like this team, I like their four guys, their main four, and I like some of their role players. I think, like, if we've talked about it, if you get TJ Warren back in that lineup, they're super dangerous. Mm-hmm. Like, they're not better than any of those top four teams, but
they're tough, right? Like,
but like they're
pro teams have millions to spend and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Tough out if they're all healthy. Now you don't get TJ Warren back. And now, like, out for a year, who knows what he comes back as after everything we saw in the, like, does he come back the same? Who knows? That's, it stinks for them.
It's tough.
And they it seems like they've had like nagging stuff all year. I mean, everybody has, everyone has.
But they just look so good to start the year where I'm just so surprised at them sitting at 21 and 24 now, but they have had a weird season. I mean, they trade Oladipo and they don't have any return for a couple weeks. LeVert's still, I'm assuming, you know, getting his feel for playing with other guys. So it wouldn't shock me if they got super hot down the stretch, but it has been a strange year for them.
Yep.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of teams that are close to the play-in game, I don't know how far you got in yesterday's episode with James Herbert, but did you get to the point where James said that the, and I'm not trying to knock James, because this is, he truly believes this. And I don't know if it's true because I don't follow teams with these records that often. He said that the Raptors are the best team in NBA history with an 18-28 record.
Wow.
Like he was basically saying, like he was basically making the argument that the Raptors are not as bad as I think they are, and that they're not in as bad a shape as I think they are, and that circumstances, COVID, injuries, playing in Tampa has all led to them being where they are, and that their record is not indicative than that they are one of the best teams ever with this bad of a record.
Okay, I did not hear that part. So I was doing a very boring task at work, listening to the podcast, and then got very busy and had
the reason I bring that up is because they got lumberjacked by the Pistons tonight. So
the Pistons
with Kyle Lowry back in the lineup did not play in their last game.
James Herbert knows a hell of a lot more about the NBA than I do. But
and
I don't.
Toronto in particular. I think that's part of it. He covered Toronto for a really long time. He knows that team like inside and out. So I think that's part of, he just knows that team really well. So, you know, if he,
but I'm going to stick to my guns here. I don't think they're very good. And tonight.
I think they're good enough to be a playoff team in the East.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think that was my, I think that kind of got lost in the conversation. Like that wasn't really my point. I think my point was going forward, this team's a mess just with the contracts and all that stuff.
They are. Yeah.
But he did say that, like, I guess when Lowry's out, I don't know, like, he did mention something about cap space, so I don't really know. But I don't know who they can spend cap space on. No one's going up there. You're going to have to make a move.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It was just funny to me that the night after he said that, they got fucking smoked by Detroit.
By a team with all kinds of moving. Hamidou Diallo got his first big minutes. He played great.
A team that somehow doesn't have the worst record in the NBA. Somehow the T-Wolves still have the worst record in the NBA. It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah.
But Toronto has the second worst record in the NBA, tied with the Rockets. So that's a really bad loss for a team that is trying. I mean, they're close. They could very easily be in the play-in, but they look terrible. Who else? Oh, well, Minnesota. Oh, the Minnesota game was actually really interesting tonight because Kyrie had 19 in the first half. Everyone was freaking out about how good he was. He had 25 at the end of the third. And then he had 2 points in the fourth quarter. And Minnesota almost came back and won. They had a chance. Anthony Edwards had a chance with, like, I want to say, like 13 seconds left to tie it. They came back big. But of course, I mean, Harden is just, you saw what Harden said, right?
I did. Yeah. And it's also, it's tough. Like, cause he keeps doing this. It's tough for me to keep saying, no, he's not in the MVP discussion, you know, like he's clearly in the discussion now and I was wrong. Like he's just out of his mind. Don't think like, I mean,
he's in the discussion. I still do. I'm still sticking to my guns that a lot of him being in the discussion is that people are in their minds believe that he is the best player right now on a championship team.
Mm-hmm.
And
but Durant's going to come back. That's
right. Well, that's my point is that the reason, again, this is all overthinking it on my part. Cause at the end of the day, he's having an MVP season and they have the second best record in the East, but this is, he's putting up, I think what happens is with MVP is the guy with the best numbers on the best team. Well, James Harden has the best numbers on the best team, but they're the best team because of Kevin Durant. So again, like if you took James Harden, if you took Kevin Durant out of the equation, he was never coming back and James Harden was doing this, he'd still be in the MVP conversation, but I don't think people would be so locked in on it because they'd be like, well, this team can't win a championship.
Right. That's a good point. That is a good point. Yeah. Because without Durant, this is not a championship team, in my opinion.
It's not. Could they win the East? Could they make a run in the East?
They could. Yeah.
They could. Maybe. I mean, the way Kyrie is playing this year, they're pretty, I mean, they got a lot of shooters. Maybe they can make a run in the East, but it's not a lock. I mean, it's not a lock either way, but it's definitely not. They're definitely not the best team in the East.
Right. Whereas Durant's right now, they're the best
team.
They are.
Yeah. With Durant, they're the best team in the East. Potentially the best team in the NBA. I mean, really, the Lakers are incredible when they're healthy, but we just don't know how good this Nets team can be when they're fully healthy. Right. We really haven't seen it at all.
What's it been like 5 games they played? Not even? I don't know.
Something like that. I get worried with Durant.
I wonder,
the longer he stays out, it is concerning. It's just like, how long can he sit? How long is he going to need to ramp up for the playoffs coming off of an Achilles? It's just like,
I just wonder if because of how good they've been and their record, they sustain their record, that they're just being super cautious.
Yeah.
And like, no, he could have come back, you know,
you absolutely have to be, but again, it's a shorter season. There's not that many games left. Like we're pretty close to the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, we are.
So I don't think a lot of people are even realizing that because you just, the All-Star break just happened, trade deadline just happened. I think people are thinking like, oh, the second half of the season's like, I mean,
we're about 20 games left, right?
Philly is 32. I'm looking at the Eastern Conference. So the Nets are 32 and 15. So that's 47 games. So they have
75, I think.
So 25 games left. It's not a lot of games.
No.
So
and especially, you know, Kyrie gets dinged up and misses 5 games, you know, then they're not playing, you know, so. You
right. And my biggest thing is like, at what point do you have to bring him back to like get him? Cause you can't just bring him back in, which they won't, you can't just bring him back in the playoffs, but you gotta give him time to ramp up, but when is the right time and when's it not risk? It just it is concerning with his history. It's the same. It's the same thing I feel about the Lakers. When do you bring back AD? Because that the nature of the injury, and the same with LeBron. It's just, it's going to be an interesting thing with those guys.
Very tricky thing to, I mean, I guess ultimately who makes the decision, the player and the training staff, but yeah. Like how much, yeah.
Well, I think with LeBron, it's like,
it's basically LeBron. Yeah.
Like how do you, can you play or not?
Because
I think if LeBron was 60%, and he was like, I want to play. Maybe not during the regular season, but as we get closer to the playoffs. Also, here's the other thing. Unless it's like a really devastating injury, as you're staying out, it's solely on the player. Because unless there's like a noticeable change in the way the player looks, if you can just, you know, play through it, then how they know?
Yeah.
So like, In 3 weeks, if LeBron is just, if he's moving normal, but he's in pain, how would they know if he just was like, I'm ready. I need to play.
Yeah.
And at this point in LeBron's career, would you put it past him?
No, definitely not. Especially with his fifth ring that he could grab this year.
That's what I mean. So it's weird. That'll be a weird situation. We'll see how that goes as we get close to the playoffs, which we are not that far away from. It's pretty wild. Couple other games. I know there's a lot of games tonight. A couple other games. Utah pounded Cleveland. We don't need to talk about that. Memphis beat Houston. Do we need to talk about that?
Not really.
I know Ja Morant had a pretty good game, but other than that, like Memphis keeps sticking around in that play-in area. Oh, actually, we do. Jonas Valanciunas had 30 and 15. A battle. This was the battle for the ages. Jonas Valanciunas against Miami Heat legend Kelly Olynyk, who had 25 and 9.
Oh, wow.
Kelly Olynyk's two games for Houston. Fucking
ball. Okay, that, there's my first roster total. I did not know Kelly Olynyk was playing already for the on the Rockets. Okay.
I think he debuted two nights ago.
Okay. Wow. Really nice game for him.
I tweeted out that his net rating as a member, now I don't know what it is now, but after the first game, I tweeted out Kelly Olynyk's net rating as a Rocket is 41.9.
Oh my God. How many minutes was that?
Yeah. Like 20 minutes or something. Okay. But he's starting because Christian Wood's hurt again.
Right. I'm looking at it. Yeah. He has an illness. So, disaster of a season.
Yeah. That's, I just thought that was cool to bring up.
Yeah.
Man, Jonas, I mean, yeah, ever since that tweet, Valanciunas is just
falling out of his mind. Yeah.
Every night. Here's one that we should, not necessarily talk about the game, but an interesting situation that I think you would probably want to get into that I did get into with James yesterday, which is this with Dallas beat OKC 127-106. And you actually texted me. I found out from you about the Al Horford thing.
Yeah, it's horseshit.
Okay, so here's what
I'm fired up about this.
I know. So here's what James said. And again, this is just how he interprets it. His thing was that one way or another, at some point in the year, they were going to shut down Al Horford. And that because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is out for an extended period of time, it accelerated the timeline for that. Because without Shai, they're not competitive either way. So they want to go with their young guys.
Okay, but this is tanking. There's just no way.
I know that. And that's what I said. And that was my, he, you know, you listen to it. I said to him like, okay, I understand that. I was just like, but in a league that's supposed to be curbing tanking and punishing teams for tanking, you just took the best player left on the team and told the rest of the league, we are not attempting to win basketball games.
Yeah. And people have gotten forced out of the league for this exact thing. Now, Sam Hinkie did it over a longer period of time, but Adam Silver has got to be calling Sam Presti or email. I don't know how these guys communicate, but this is blatant tanking. And in the past, that hasn't been tolerated. So this can't go like unchecked is my point. You know what I mean? Like this is objectively tanking.
But again, Sam Presti is like the golden child.
Like, yeah, NBA, I don't understand. Everyone loves him. Get it. I don't get it. I mean, do the Thunder have any more like national TV games left? Like that's probably all Adam Silver even cares about really. But like,
by the way, that guy, Moses Brown, I was talking about, got a multi-year extension from them.
Oh my God. Wait, didn't he have like a sick game the other day with like a
Like blocks 20 rebounds in the he had 20 rebounds in like the first half.
Yeah. I saw that. And I mean, they've got a couple guys here that could be NBA players down the road, but this thing that they're putting out there is tanking. And it's just not even, it's not a discussion. Like they are trying to lose as many games as possible. And that has been, that's essentially been penalized in the past. You know?
Right. Well, here's my problem with this team. I already had a problem before the season because we've talked about how they are blatantly trying to be bad because they have 1,000 draft picks. What I don't like about this situation is that they've overachieved. They're much better than they should have been this year. They were actually on the brink of being a playoff team before Shai got hurt. And because Shai got hurt and because you're overachieving, if we're honest, like It's not that Shea got hurt. It's because you've been overachieving. You decide we're going to bench the guy who's helping us overachieve because we can't be this good. I mean, that they can try to make an argument in what any way they want, that it's Shea being hurt and all this, but it's not. I mean, it's your record's way better than it should be. You have to be bad. And so my problem is that they overachieved and decided, oh, we don't want to win. Like if they were bad all year, it sucks. It's a bad product, but at least it was like, okay, we're bad. Like, they overachieved. They're not doing what the front office expected them to do. So now it's like, okay, now we got to figure out a way to rectify this because this was not the plan.
Yeah. He's healthy. That's like, it's so messed up. Honestly, this is worse than what Sam Hinkie did because Sam Hinkie constructed a completely dog shit roster and put guys out there. Like, he didn't take a guy that was playing too well and helping them win and put him on the shelf. Mm-hmm. I mean, they should, if they're going to do this, they have to buy out Al Horford. They can't keep him hostage because they want to trade him for a first round pick in the offseason. Not that
It's tough because of how much money he still has 2 years. Well,
then they have to play him. Like they can't, it's just, this is so fundamentally messed up.
There's gotta be something. Like, I don't know what it is. And part of the thing is, like, again, it's because it's OKC too. Like if it was Dallas, yeah, or if it was Philly, or if it, you know, if it was a team that people gave a shit about other than Thunder fans, then they would make a big deal out of it. But it's OKC. Unfortunately, that's
just, yeah. I just it leaves a really bad taste in my mouth because it's so blatant.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, I think I don't know. It's hard. It's hard for me to understand because I feel like me and you are in the minority on this. I feel like the rest of the NBA, although I think when I was talking last week to Jabari, it was either Jabari or Dan, one of the two guys that I had on when we were talking about OKC was sort of on the same like boat as us. Like at what point, like what good is 37 draft picks and being bad, you know?
Yeah, you can't have like a friggin' farm system overseas. Like you can only have so many guys under contract. But yeah, it all just goes back to like there is 100% no doubt about it that when Hinkie was doing the sort of thing, Adam Silver contacted the Colangelos, contacted the Sixers ownership, and forced that move. Okay, so why is
after Sam a couple Preston, years though?
Yes, it was.
And this is just the start of OKC's thing.
Okay. So when does Adam Silver knock on his door and is like,
I mean, I guess after next year, if they win like 10 games, they're probably like, all right.
Or so is Al Horford going to play next year for them? Or they can't.
No, they said that the agreement was that in the offseason, they'll try to figure out a new something for him.
So, yeah, I guess that's the only defense is that you get one season of trying to be absolute trash, well, and then Adam Silver knocks on your door.
James is probably not, he's not wrong that they would have sat him eventually. And the Shea thing probably did exacerbate it because without Shea, they are awful. So, I mean, it makes sense. It's a good point. It's still not right.
No, it's not right.
Still not right. All right. Last couple games. I think we did Indy, New Orleans, Minnesota, Brooklyn. Yep.
We should just Dallas won the game 127 to 106. You might have mentioned that. I forget, but it doesn't really matter.
I think I did, but I don't know. Last two games. Clippers beat Milwaukee.
Could have sworn you were going to say pound it out. I don't know why. I thought you were, Clippers.
It was a close game though. They pulled away in the end, but it was relatively close. But interesting. No Paul George, no Pat Beverly, no Rondo, who they traded for. I wonder, like, Reggie Jackson's been pretty good for them this year. I wonder if he plays over Rondo. Also, you know who's been killing it for them? Terrence Mann. He's been.
I see you had 14-9. Wow.
He's been great for them. He's been great for them off the bench, like, really stepped up. Like last week, there was a game where they were getting absolutely slammed and Ty Lue benched everyone and Terrence Mann and Luke Kennard just brought them back from like 20 down and they won.
Wow.
Yeah.
The Lou Williams move was very, very surprising to me, by the way. I don't
He's going to retire. I mean, I think it's he's from Atlanta. He's from he played at Gwinnett High School. Like, it's right outside Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I think it's they sent him home to retire.
Mm-hmm. That's nice of them.
At someone, I saw a tweet earlier in the year that was like, some fan tweeted at him about getting traded. And he was like, he's like, this is my last stop. If I get traded anywhere, it's Louisville.
I
think is like home.
Yeah. Atlanta.
So
it's just crazy. The drop off from
now it's like, he gets to go to Magic City and have the wings whenever he wants.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
I just mean that from the clip, like, this dude scored 18 points a game last year. The Clippers should be contending in the West. Like, did he get washed that quickly? Or
I think this thing is, I mean, we talk about it all the time. This team's in trouble.
Yeah.
And just there's also reports that have come out over the last couple of days that the reason like teams didn't want to reach on like on a Kyle Lowry or overspend in trades and extend guys is because there's a thought that maybe Kawhi will be available and Brad Beal for a trade, but that Kawhi may opt out, which we've been talking about.
We've said that. Yeah.
For a while.
As soon as the report about him being unhappy about the Doc Rivers firing.
Yeah.
That's what. And of then shit,
a couple weeks ago when he said, we need to be more consistent.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
geez. That's the, like, of all the things he decides to not say, that's the thing he says, you know?
Yeah. But you know, losing Trez, Lou Will regressing, it's crushed their second unit. They literally every other game, either Kawhi or Paul George doesn't play. Pat Beverly stinks. His roster's Kawhi is incredible. There's no questioning that. And Paul George is an all NBA player, top 15, top 20 guy when he's healthy. But outside of that, this roster is terrible.
It's Ibaka really hasn't bad. Been great, right? Or he hasn't been quite right. It seems like
he's been okay. But he's old. I mean, he's older. He's just like, you know, it's just not a good roster. It's like, you look at it, you're just like, this team's in trouble. They seem like they're in trouble. There is no team right now. When I look at the top of the West, there's no team that I feel like supremely confident that they're beating in a 7-game series.
I mean, especially after last year.
Healthy Lakers, obviously, but then Denver just got way better. They're not beating the Suns. I don't think they're beating the Suns. I don't think they're beating Utah at this point. And Portland probably got a little bit better, even though, like, Norm Powell's not that much better than Gary Trent, but he's having an incredible year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now they'll probably beat Portland, but it's not like a lock.
Especially they completely folded last year. So how can you be confident that they're going to, you know,
flip the
switch? Yeah. Yep.
The Bucks have looked really good. Giannis is, I think he's officially back in the mix for MVP.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think right now with the injuries, it's him, Jokic, and Harden.
I do. I mean, I think the Bucks need to climb to that one. They need to catch the Nets or the Sixers, right?
Embiid's probably out of it because of the injury.
Whether it's right or wrong, I just think that the voter fatigue will be in there. I just don't think people are going to give him a third one, especially
You know what I was thinking though? That the narrative about voter fatigue started so early that maybe now the media is going to be like, we're not fatigued.
There's voter fatigue.
You can't tell us that we're fatigued.
Yeah.
And then they go opposite of the fatigue and they vote for Giannis.
Do you think though that just, I know it's a regular season award, right? But after just the disappointments in the playoffs 2 years in a row kind of like put a stench around him as a player that would affect him.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, part of the fatigue.
People
are like, are we going to keep voting for a guy who can't win in the playoffs, even though it's a regular season award? So yes, I agree. Yeah, I do. But this team looks really good. They're definitely substantially better than last year.
Yeah. He's in the discussion for sure.
Yeah. Then the last game was Chicago lost again to this time to Golden State, 116-102. Steph, before we talk about the Bulls, Steph had 32, but I don't think he should be playing. I watched a lot of this game. Like, he doesn't, he looks banged up still. He had that tailbone injury.
Did you ever watch that injury? It was brutal. Like, yeah, it looked really bad.
Every time he made an athletic, and again, he played really good. He had 32. So, but every time he made any type of athletic move or someone banged him or he came down, he just looked like he was gimpy. Like, I just don't get it. Like,
I guess maybe
I know they're fighting to be in the playoffs, but it's Steph, man. If you want to really, if you think there's a run left in this team, it's next year when Clay comes back. You don't want to risk Steph getting something bad happening to him.
Right.
He just looked banged up.
Not a doctor, but if it's the type of injury that just cannot get any worse, like he's just sore and that's why he's not moving well and he's not at risk of doing anything else, then I'm with it. But yeah, if he's at any sort of risk of doing something worse, whether because he's compensating and could injure another body part, then they're not very good. That's just
right.
They're going to be in the playoffs probably, at least the play-in, I would say. Let me get a look here. They're going to be in that play-in. Well, the Kings. They shed Hassan Whiteside. That's what I'm saying. We're not sure anymore.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay, so the Bulls, who are the more important team to talk about right now, they make the deal for Nikola Vucevic. They were already on a losing streak. Are you on the standings? What have they lost, 5 in a row?
Tonight was 4 in a row, but they've lost 6 of 7.
Okay. They make the deal for Vucevic. They get beat pretty handily by the Spurs in the first game with Vuce. And then they get beat relatively handily by the Warriors in the second game. Neither one's an easy game, by the way. And this team was already not playing well. But already in 2 games, Vucevic led the team in scoring twice. Zach LaVine had 18 in the first one and 12 against the Warriors. That's a problem right off the bat. And I know it's going to take some time for them to gel, but it can't be at the expense of one of the most explosive scorers in the NBA, who is one of the reasons you're way ahead of schedule this year as it is. Like, Vucevic is good, but he's not – you have a franchise. Your franchise player is Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
This trade can't hamper what LaVine has become this year. Obviously, it's only been 2 games, but that's going to have to get fixed quick, because you could see a guy getting frustrated. Like, oh, you just traded for some dude who's a 30-year-old guy who can barely move, and it's impacting the way I play. That's a problem.
I haven't watched them since LaVine came – or since Vuce joined the team, but – could it just be like small sample size and LaVine is not shooting well? Because I see he's 4 for 16 tonight. But again, that could be because they're doing things differently on offense. Like,
well, I'm not like an expert on what they were doing before on offense, but it just looks like they're working Vuce into the offense and guys are getting comfortable with their roles around him. Like, it looks like he only had 13 shots, but he gets a lot of touches. Which understandably so, but just like Vuce is good. And when this trade happened, I was like, wow, the Bulls were the winners of the deadline. But now as I watched it, it remains to be seen, because this was a team, not that they're not better with Vucevic, but I think we're going to learn now a lot about Nikola Vucevic. So I think over the last few years, he's become the franchise player on a bad team. And even though they were a playoff team, there was never any expectations, right? It was just like, let's run the offense through Vuce. He's talented. He's going to get us 20-something a game, and we're going to be an 8 seed or maybe a 7 seed. With the Bulls, there is big expectations because of their youth and upside. He's a 30-year-old non-athletic center. Who's never won anything. And his best year this year was on a very bad team. So we will learn a lot. Like, does he fit into a team that is trending towards being a winning team? Again, it's only been 2 games, but they got to fix whatever it was. I didn't watch the whole game. I watched bits and pieces. But whatever it is that hasn't clicked through the first 2 games, it can't be at the expense of Zach LaVine. It can be at the expense of literally any other player on the team at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It just can't be at the expense of Zach LaVine.
Yeah, it's a great point because we know what a team looks like when Vucevic is the best player. It's just not very good. But we don't know how good a team can be with Zach LaVine coming into his own with a good supporting cast.
We kind of have seen it this year, right? Like this team has been much better this year than we expected them to be. And that's in part, two things. Zach LaVine having the best year of his career and becoming a star, and Thaddeus Young, mm-hmm. who's been great for them. And they have a good mix. And
cool, Patrick Williams. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, marking in every now and then, but he can't, like, at 30 years old, I would hate for them to go all in on a 30-year-old center who's good, but not a franchise. Like, you don't want you're not building your franchise. I would hate for them to go all in on him and make them take a step back from what it seemed like they were mm-hmm. building quicker than we thought.
Yeah. And I've got to believe Billy Donovan recognizes that too, you know, and hopefully it's just growing pains, but I'm looking at their schedule and it is brutal. They've got Phoenix, Utah, Brooklyn, and Indiana in their next four. So,
I mean, because you think about it, right? They brought in Vooch. They brought in Daniel Tice. They moved on from Wendell Carter, who I don't particularly love, Chandler Hutchinson, Daniel Gafford. So Vooch is an all-star, very, very good player. They got older and less athletic.
Yeah, Troy Brown Jr. though. Sorry. I have a top shot of him.
I keep forgetting about Troy Brown Jr. He's a good role player. He's a good role player. But they got older and less athletic up front.
Mm-hmm.
So they're gonna have to figure out what that looks like, because you know, Thaddeus Young is having a very good year, but he's not young either. And it's like, again, these veterans, they're good. This team's not good enough to win a championship. So you can't allow your want to be a playoff team so quickly to hamper what was happening with Zach LaVine this year. He was becoming a special player. And this could just be a slump, just like any other team. But it'll be something to monitor, because my first instinct was, holy shit, they got Vucevic for next to nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, maybe there's a reason. Why were the Magic so willing to get rid of their franchise player, a guy who was getting ready to be the all-time leading scorer in franchise history?
Wow, I didn't realize that. That's kind of sucks. But
they just let him go. I mean, they got two picks. That's fine, but those picks aren't going to be great. You would imagine. And they got a guy who, Wendell Carter, is like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in an all-star year, they blew up their team. Why?
It is pretty, because they know what they had in him. Yeah.
Right. So we'll see. He should fit, but I think he's going to have to, he in particular, they're going to have to figure out a way to make him understand that he has to take a backseat to Zach LaVine. He can't be the guy. He's not the guy in Chicago. Zach LaVine is. And through two games, it doesn't seem like that's the case.
It's not getting any easier. So this could get worse before it gets better.
Yeah, we'll see. Coby White didn't play. Maybe that's the problem. Right? Or am I missing him?
No, he didn't play.
Yeah.
So, yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's probably the issue.
All right, I think that's it. Man, these long episodes. There was a lot of games tonight. A lot of games tonight. I think we'll get back to the under an hour episodes as we get back into the flow of things.
We didn't talk about the Marcus Smart play. Maybe we'll lead off.
Yeah. Well, we can just say there was a jump ball in the Pelicans Celtics game, and it was Pelicans possession, and there was a jump ball. There was 0.3 seconds left on the shot clock, but it was 0.3 seconds for the Pelicans if they got possession. And if the Celtics get possession, their shot clock resets, and it was at half court. And the ball got tipped to Marcus Smart, and he just chucked a half court shot like into the stands, not realizing that the shot clock reset.
Well, arguably, even funnier than that is the jump ball was between Peyton Pritchard and Brandon Ingram. And Brandon Ingram didn't jump because he knew they had 0.3 seconds left. So not Marcus Smart. Peyton Pritchard wins the only jump ball he'll probably ever win in the NBA. And Marcus Smart launches a half court shot.
Not the worst scenario like that that's ever happened.
What was worse?
Roscoe Smith from UConn.
Love the name, but don't
look it up. For okay. those of you who don't remember what I'm talking about, Alex, look it up. Is an NCAA tournament game. It was either an NCAA tournament game or a Big East tournament game. UConn, I don't remember the score. I just remember UConn got a rebound with 11 seconds left. 11 seconds. Roscoe Smith thought there was like, I guess he thought there was 1 second.
1.1, the decimal point.
And he fucking took a full court shot and just like as hard as he could, like just chucked it into the stands with 11 seconds left.
Oh, that is brutal.
So look that up because that's okay. the best. That's the best one ever. The Marcus Smart is now second. That okay. one's the because of the circumstance because mm-hmm. it was a tournament game. So,
all right, I'm looking that up after the show for sure.
All right, that's it. We'll be back tomorrow with Alex. I've gotten used to having to tease who's going to be on the show tomorrow, but Alex will be back tomorrow.
I will be back. Yep. Sixers play. Let's go.
All right, later.